And welcome back to our Jumpstart, our Microsoft tools for VMware integration and migration. I'm Simon Perryman, Senior Technical Evangelist and VMware Certified Professional. And in this module, I'm joined by Justin. And we're going to be focusing on automation and integration with our VMware environment. So as we kind of look through the course of the day, we've gone through several different modules already. We've gone and taken a look at how we actually build our core infrastructure using Virtual Machine Manager, and also how we go and actually monitor that infrastructure using Operations Manager. In this third module here, we're looking at automation. So we get this data, and we want to make automatic actions with it. And the reason why we do this is to just make faster mean time to resolution, to perform standard activities in a consistent way. One of the challenges that we heard from a lot of customers was there would just be bugs by human error, right? If you're trying to resolve an issue, you're deploying a new virtual machine, a new service, there's 50 steps in a step-by-step document. People make mistakes. I mean, that's a fact of the matter. So as we build automation here, we look at things that we can standardize and then have that process automatically configured. So you deploy a service the same way every time. You're guaranteed it's configured correctly. There's less time with troubleshooting calls, faster deployment. So essentially, our goal here is to free up your time by building automation so that our IT pros can work on new projects, new tasks, add new value to the business, and get out of this business of doing these repetitive tasks. Now, Justin, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks, Simon. Hey, great to be here. Thank you for the invite. Happy to talk to you folks online today. I'm a senior program manager with automation and integration, specifically on the Orchestrator product. Been with the company about 15 years, and happy to be here in the System Center suite talking to you about what we can do with VMware.
Excellent. So tell us a little bit about what we're going to cover as part of this day.
Yeah, so today we're going to talk a little bit about using the Orchestrator Integration Pack to reach into a vSphere instance and do stuff. Like you said, Simon, you nailed it. When we talk about things like automation and consistency and predictability, those are the things you want to automate away. If I've got you focused on other key business objectives and you've automated away some of the repetitive stuff, it's a great win for both of us.
I mean, that's really a key point, right? One of our goals with System Center is to make our IT pros more valuable in their organization,
yeah.
Right? Allow someone to do more with less time.
Right.
And so with automation, you know, automate those repetitive tasks, right? Free up your time to add new value to the business.
Yeah.
And so you're really going to see Orchestrator be kind of one of these core critical components within the System Center family.
Yep.
Now, let's take a quick look at the product view and kind of compare what Microsoft has over to VMware.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in both cases, we have an automation solution that's called Orchestrator. In our case, System Center Orchestrator. On the VMware side, vCenter Orchestrator. But functionally, these do the same thing. You collect data, build pre-configured activities or workflows, and based on certain triggers or environment variables, go and kick off that workflow, go ahead and complete an action. But why don't you tell us a little more about kind of what Orchestrator is?
Yeah, so Orchestrator is a product, like you said, Simon. It allows us to automate away some of these workflows. It allows us to focus more on business objectives that we have in the organization. And the nice thing about Orchestrator, specifically our version, is that it's a nice WYSIWYG designer. So you get this nice designer surface, you have a list of activities. And if you look at activities, we build those off of integration packs. And the integration packs, you can kind of look at Orchestrator kind of like the Xbox platform. And when you add the integration packs, you get all the games.
Okay.
And so that's kind of an analogy I like to use. You've got a lot of foundational objects that are part of the platform, like Xbox has its certain foundational objects. And these are things like reaching into databases. These are system utilities. These are looking at files. These are looking at databases. These are scheduling. And then when you add the integration packs, like the VMware integration pack, like the FTP, like the System Center suite, like Active Directory, like the new Exchange user, you can automate away all these different workloads. And it's not just the Microsoft workloads. It's heterogeneous workloads, and it's the vSphere, it's the IBM, it's BMC, whatever product is out there that's able to be automated away, we most likely have an integration pack for it.
Great. Now, can you give us just a brief history of Orchestrator? How did it come to be as part of the System Center family?
Yeah, so a few years ago, there was the Opalis product that was out there, and we made a strategic move to say, hey, orchestration is a critical piece of the business. We absolutely need an automation tool. We made the acquisition. We converted it into System Center Orchestrator 2012. We're currently at the SP1 release, which we made a lot of investments, a lot of fixes, a lot of investments in the integration packs. and our localization story as well. We fully support Windows Server 2012, SQL Server 2012, and all core 18 languages.
Great. Well, let's move on and jump into Orchestrator. Why don't you tell us what are some of the basic concepts or basic building blocks of System Center Orchestrator?
Yeah, so when we look at the building blocks, we've got several things we talked about with regards to the integration packs. And in integration packs have, like we talked about, we have activities. And so these activities are essentially the building blocks of your workflows. You've got the core product, you go out and get these integration packs, import them into your system, deploy them out to your runbook servers, and like we talked about, we've got this nice WYSIWYG designer. We can drag and drop activities around. Look at the different activities that we want to focus on for the specific workloads, and then we build runbooks from this.
So take it a step back. Basically, an activity is an action,
yep.
Such as send an email.
Absolutely.
And so a collection of actions, that's what we call a runbook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you look at the composition of a series of activities and you string them all together, and again, dropping arrows and creating workflows, we get the runbooks. And the runbooks fully exportable, fully importable. So if I build a killer runbook that I say, hey, Simon, you're going to absolutely love this runbook. It's going to automate away some of your business functions, allow you to save some time, export it out, give it over to you. You import it into your system, hit go, and you're done.
Very nice. Now, can one runbook call another runbook?
Absolutely. We talked a little bit about the foundational objects. And in Orchestrator, you actually have a built-in set of utilities. A parent runbook can call a child runbook. You can have functions. You can have joins. You can have splits. And it allows you to actually orchestrate your workflow in a way that makes the most business sense to you. One of the other things that we have is the data bus. And that's one of the coolest parts, I think, of the Orchestrator product. When you're building a workflow, you're building an activity, one of the workflows that we're going to look at, we're going to reach into vSphere, we're going to publish some data about the inventory on that vSphere server, and we're going to use that data later in subsequent activities to make decisions on what we should clone, what we should snapshot, what we should add a virtual disk to.
So you're saying that we can pull data out of other objects, such as a particular name of a virtual machine? Take that data, use it within our workflow, and then let's say, for example, deploy that particular virtual machine based on the parameter we receive.
You got it.
Great. Yep. So pretty thorough automation. Now, what about our standard activities that come built in? What exactly are those?
Yeah, so the standard activities I like to call the foundation objects, and this is kind of like the Xbox platform, right, before you import the IP. So you can do a lot of things with this native set of foundation objects. Importing the IPs take you one step further, kind of per workload, but the standard activities allow you to do things like scheduling, allow you to do things with your reaching into databases, allow you to do the functions, the splits, the joins, the calling the child runbooks, file management, folder management, basic email notifications, utilities. If I want to send a platform event and just say, hey, I'm working on something, I want to test it out, maybe I want to have some other product come in and consume that, I can send to the event log, or I can write to the standard platform.
Nice. Now, you used an acronym here that I want us to define, sure. IP. What exactly is an IP?
Yeah. The integration pack. So if you're an old SCOM user, you know the term management pack. If you're an Orchestrator user, you know integration pack. And again, these are kind of like those games. And the integration packs are workload specific. The integration pack that we're going to look at today, Simon, is the one specifically for VMware. And you'll see it's got a host of activities that you can use to automate away management of that particular workload.
Great. Well, let's actually take a look at this VMware integration pack. Can you just give us an overview of what are these different activities that come as part of it?
Yeah, absolutely. If you see on the screen, we've got a list of all the activities in the IP, things like create a VM, customize the VM. And when you look at things like customize and reconfigure the VM, these are things like, hey, I've spun up a VM, Simon. I want to add a disk to it. I want to add a network interface to it. I want to take a snapshot. I want to reset it. I want to reboot it. I can look at cloning. I can look at setting variables. I can add DVDs drive. I can do the get hosts, and so I can use a lot of the get resources and a lot of the get activities to reach into that vSphere instance and say, hey, what am I dealing with? What is on this particular box? What do I care about? What are my data centers? What are my applications? What are the images that I have running? What are the snapshots that are currently available to me? What's the state? Are they powered on? Are they powered off? And then make decisions based on the workflow that I need to just construct the activities one by one by one, and then use any of the other activities to do what I need to do to that VM.
Very nice. Well, Orchestrator is great to talk about it, but way better to see it in action when we can actually conceptualize it, build it together. So why don't we switch over to our demo and actually take a look at it in action. While you're switching over, I received one question. Are integration packs free? Absolutely. You know, you can go download all of these from download.microsoft.com. And all of a lot of third parties have these as well. So, you know, we're not just talking about integrating with the Microsoft product, but as you're going to see later, we have integration with HP Operations Manager. We have integration with all different types of ticketing systems, help desk, remedy, etc. And even if there isn't an integration pack available today, you can build your own, right?
Yeah, you can absolutely. We've got an authoring toolkit. The Orchestrator integration toolkit allows you to define your own workflows. We've got a new feature in there called cascading dependencies. So based on what you pull for a particular machine, you get that inventory back, which helps you to make your next decision in what you're going to present to the user for an available object to pick.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, before we jump there, I just want to remind everybody that we do have some polls. So if you can, if you're in full screen mode, minimize that. Take a look at the poll at the bottom of the script and give us some good data so we can help understand where our customers are coming from. So let's jump into the demo now.
Awesome.
What are we taking a look at here?
So what I've got here, Simon, this is our runbook designer.
So this is System Center Orchestrator here.
Absolutely. The
basic product here.
Yep. And this allows me to compose my workflows. And so what I've done here is I've just done a drag and drop of all the different standard activities that are part of this particular integration pack. And so you can see if I wanted to build workflows, I can just easily kind of string these things together, build the workflows that I need. You know, I'm doing connecting arrows, I'm removing arrows, I'm doing splits, joins. We talked a lot about some of the foundation objects. And if you look at system, scheduling, monitoring, file management, email, notification, utilities, these are things that we talked about, the kind of standard foundation objects. And then when you start to get into the integration packs, you can see that I've got the Windows Azure IP.
Ooh, could you expand that for a second?
Absolutely. So I can manage a lot of my IaaS platform resources. I can get in, I can manage my certificates, I can spin up VMs, I can deploy services. Next time we meet, I'll do the Azure demo.
Sounds good.
Yeah, good. So these are the activities that we have. As you can see, I'll scroll through. You saw it on the slide as well. We can reach in, we can get hosts, we can get resource pools, we can delete disks, all those things that we have. So the runbook that I'm going to show you is actually this one. And basically what I'm going to do, I'm going to show you some before and after, Simon. I'm going to show you kind of what this vSphere data center looks like before we run this workflow, and I'm going to show you what it looks like after. And I've set up a series of kind of touch points in that we had touched on it earlier. Can I reach into HP? Can I do things with SCUM? Absolutely. So when I fire off this runbook and I complete this workflow, several points that I want to get notified on. I want to send a platform event. I want to get an email that says, hey, Justin, you just created these resources. I want to get an informational in SCUM that says, hey, by the way, this resource is ready for you. Conversely, I may want to get that notification in HP Operations Manager and say, hey, HP users, here's a ticket that says, hey, this resource is available to you. So that's kind of what we have end to end. And so you can see I've got a workflow defined, kind of looks like a backwards S here, just to fit on the screen. But you can drag and drop these however you like to look at them.
No, I just want to clarify one point from what I saw in that last view from the activities to what I saw here. Now, with that last screen showing all those different activities listed, that's not a workflow itself, right? That's just placing them there so that we can visualize them there.
Just a visual.
Great, but this is actually a workflow because I can see we have something that says initialize data. I can see that there's a series of progressive steps and it gives us a result. So why don't you walk us through this?
Absolutely. One of the first things we need to do, go to options and actually set up our connection. And what this allows me to do, Simon, very similar to what it does for Azure or Exchange or REST or Operations Manager, I need to tell the runbook, hey, when you reach out to a server, I want you to reach out to this one and I want you to use these credentials. So you define those credentials up front. Once you do that, you start to build your activities. First thing I'll do is I'm going to say, hey, what VMs are on this host before? And I'm going to use that later. We talked about kind of using the data bus, and you'll see another activity that I have later on, notify platform event. It's going to give me a list of, hey, these are the resources that you had on the machine before. These are the ones that are on after.
So just to clarify the data bus, once again, this allows us to take information or variables at one point and then pass that to these other activities throughout our workflow.
Yep.
So I get data at the start of my workflow, and then I can use that sometime later in the workflow.
Absolutely. Right. In the examples, what you're using is solid. I want to reach into this host beforehand, tell me what's on this box after this workflow runs and after Justin does his demo, show me what's available after. And that may be for an asset management system that you might want to use. Maybe put that in your CMDB. Hey, I used to have these VMs on this vSphere host. Now I have these.
Okay.
And so one of the first activities I'll look at, I just want to show you kind of what you do when you compose a simple create VM. And you can see I've defined the connection. You know, hey, what's the IP address of the server that I want to reach into? And then you pass a list of properties. And you can see one of the variables that I have is virtual machine name. That's a true variable. Anytime we do these events, I can go back to my variables, as you can see on the bottom left-hand side under global settings. And I can say, hey, this one's for Simon, so I want to plug in my event says Microsoft Virtual Academy. Those are the machines that I'll get created, and I can also use that. So later on in the workflows, it's going to say, hey, what was the name of the machine created? I want you to take that machine name, add an underscore clone to it. So I simply just have to subscribe to that variable, put an underscore clone, and it knows what to do with it because of the data bus that we talked about.
Awesome.
So that's what we do. We reach in, we look at what we're doing. We talked a little bit about the reconfiguration. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to take a clone of that VM, of the parent that I create. Then I'm going to add a network disk to it. Then I'm going to go through here and I'm going to add a disk to it. And I give it a size and I give it some other properties. Then we're going to start that VM up. And then the scenario is kind of this, Simon. I've got this parent VM that's absolutely great. I want to preserve this thing. I want to take a snapshot of it. But then for you, since you're going to be consuming it, I want to add a disk to it. I want to add a network interface because that's the network interface that you're working on, not the one that I'm working on. Then I want to take a snapshot. Not that I don't think that you're an awesome IT guy and you might mess it up, but hey, let's take a snapshot of it anyway. Just because, right? And then we're going to look at Git host properties, get the list before, get the list after, notify. I'm going to send a platform event. So we talked a little bit about the platform event and kind of the data bus and things we can do. So just in case my email's down, just in case my notification systems are down, I want to be able to publish this to a platform event. And you'll see the events tab in the bottom right-hand corner of the designer. And that's where I can look at the end result of kind of what I've done. So we'll flip through and we'll look at all these after the workflow is completed. One of the new pieces that I also have is Exchange. We've got a new IP for Exchange admin functions and Exchange user functions. This one's particularly for Exchange user. My mailbox is in Office 365. It's in the cloud, so it's not just about managing your on-prem assets, but your cloud assets as well. I want to get a quick email that says, hey, Justin, by the way, this is created for you. It's ready to go. I took a clone of it, and here's kind of the properties that we have on that. So this is, again, not only leveraging one particular integration pack, but I actually have a mix of four different integration packs in this particular workflow.
And is there any limit to the number of activities or the number of integration packs that you can put inside a single workflow?
No.
So you can do extremely complex things, conditional statements, branching.
Absolutely. And one of the series of workflows that I have for like virtual machine manager, I reach into VMM, do all the things I need to do with VMM, and I'm calling child runbooks to provision users, to create servicing windows, to do a backup of the database.
Nice. So you can almost make a hierarchy of runbooks as well for different activities.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the beauty of it, is this kind of visual designer that just says, hey, what do you need to do? What do you need to automate away? What are the processes involved?
I mean, it's kind of funny, you know, you think 5-10 years ago, we were almost building workflows in Visio, but they didn't do anything, right?
Yes.
It was almost that design with
yes.
the different activities.
Yes.
This goes to that. But now we're actually making them actionable and actually taking actions, performing great tasks with them.
In their life, I had a customer that I talked with a few weeks ago, and they were able to automate away 18,000 man hours last year.
18,000
yeah.
man hours.
And it's about 9 heads when you look at it at the end of the day. So depending on whether or not you're the IT guy or the business manager that's signing the checks, that's going to make a difference to your bottom line.
Right.
Yep. One quickly on the notification, you can see we talked a little bit about I have different activities, I have different IPs that I'm using. This one says, hey, operations manager, tell me an informational about what just happened. So I'm reaching in and doing that. And then notify, this is the platform event that just says, hey, what's the before and after? And then you can see I've got a notify HPOM as well. And so when this workflow runs and things happen, we should see a little toast pop up from HP because that's how they do their ticketing. We'll open up the SCOM SDK command line and just look at kind of what their alert stream looks like. And I'll also, before we fire this off, we've got a nice thin client as well. So in the designer, I can compose my workflows and kind of build them out. And if I also want to give Simon, who's in my organization, the ability to run these workflows as well, I give him access to the web console. And you can see I've got a nice inventory of all the runbooks I have. This particular one, I've got a delete VM, which goes in and kind of cleans up all the stuff that we do in this best one. So just so you know, the thin client is nice and it's available. Lastly, we have a runbook tester as well. I can check this particular activity out, open it up in the runbook tester, allows me to set breakpoints on particular activities, gives me the nice input and output streams at the bottom for debugging your workflows.
Very nice. So we actually just had a question come in that says, can we pause a runbook to allow an admin to add information? So for example, if there's a user input that's required, is there a way for us to prompt the admin, mm-hmm. wait for that user input, have that injected, and then kind of continue the runbook?
You can do that with initialized data right off the bat, and you can pass it whatever parameters are defined in the runbook. You can't inject data into the workflow as it's running.
Okay.
In order to edit the workflow, you've got to stop the workflow.
Okay, great. But now, this runbook designer, you mentioned that this gives us some, I guess, breakpoints. So when would you really use runbook designer? I mean, is this part of like the testing, ensuring that everything works step by step?
Yeah, absolutely. You use the tester to just say, hey, did I gave an activity to say I want to get the properties of a particular VM. Am I pointing at the right VM? Am I getting the right properties? Are the parameters that I've defined in my workflow accurate? Are they composed properly?
Right.
And so you can actually set your breakpoints. You can say, hey, this runbook's failing. It's failing for this reason. It's failing on activity 4. Let me flip over to the tester, get my inputs and outputs to see exactly what I'm passing. Maybe what I'm expecting might be a little different.
All right, sounds good.
All right, Simon, so I'm going to fire this guy off. So let me look at what my inventory looks like beforehand. You can see I just have a resource pool with some generic machines in there. So let me fire up this workflow. I simply hit run. At the bottom, there's a log file here, which allows me to look at the progression. I can look at the history of how things have been running. Audit. Hey, Justin went in and changed this particular VM at this point and changed a property. And then I can look at my events. When we talked about writing events, platform events, this is where I can get that data. So if I look over at my log, I can see that this workflow started.
Oh, so, you could break it down as well. So it goes through details.
Absolutely.
Here.
It's going step by step by step. So let's flip over to HP. Over to the vSphere console. What I should see, the activities at the bottom, I should see, hey, I'm creating a VM for you. Hey, next, Simon, I'm going to go in here and I'm going to clone this VM. Hey, Simon, next thing I'm going to do is add a network interface because you asked me to. I'm going to add a disk. And when it's all said and done, I'm going to take a nice snapshot of that clone. So you can kind of see the progression in the vSphere console. Hands off, no cards up my sleeve. I didn't have anybody else running these workflows. This is a workflow that I've designed. This is a workflow that I've executed against this vSphere server. And these are the things that are actually happening kind of live. The last part, create a virtual machine snapshot. So let's look at what we kind of had here. Microsoft Virtual Academy. This is the VM I created. Let me look at edit the settings on this just so you see what was available on the parent machine. So you can see I have one hard disk, I've got one network adapter. On the clone, Simon, you can see I powered it up as well. On the clone, I expect to see an additional network interface, an additional disk, as you can see here in the screen. We've got the additional network interface. We've got the additional hard disk. One of the other things I told it to do was, hey, take a snapshot of this guy as well, just because. So you can see I've got my nice Virtual Academy snapshot, and I'm at here. So it took a nice snapshot of the machine as well, just so I don't interfere with anything else, and I've got a nice rollback mechanism should I need to do that.
Very nice. Now, in this case, I saw you start this runbook manually, where you actually said, you know, start runbook. What are the other ways that we can have runbooks automatically start? Is it time-based, action-based?
All of the above. You know, I can trigger these workflows manually, Simon. I could have an alert come into Service Manager, and Service Manager says, oh, hey, I just got this alert from SCOM. I know exactly what to do with this. The incident says, once Simon approves it in Service Manager, the incident says, oh, I need to fire off this specific runbook to remediate that particular error, that condition, that informational, could be anything. We can fire these things off manually. We can have them triggered from other machines. You saw the toast pop up on the demo. I'll flip back over to the HP console. We can have those things triggered, like we said, automated, whatever. However we need to call the runbook, we've got a RESTful web service, so you can call into a specific runbook, pass it the parameters you need with some other third-party system that might need to execute the runbook.
Now let me just kind of elaborate on your point of Operations Manager, Service Manager. So it sounds like what you're saying is we can can use Operations Manager to monitor our infrastructure, whether that's VMware, Hyper-V. That can go and send an alert up to a service manager. Mm-hmm. Service manager can receive that alert, kind of look at the data and say, hey, this is type 1, type 2, type 3.
Right.
Go invoke runbook 1, runbook 2, runbook 3. And that can be done manually or even automatically, right?
Yeah,
so as soon as that a particular alert comes in, maybe you have to restart an IIS server. We could do that immediately.
Yeah. So think about you nailed it, Simon. I mean, that's the true kind of diagnostic and recovery, right? The automated remediation, right? I've got a condition. I'm detecting that condition in whatever system, and I'm doing this runbook to remediate that failure. If you do things in SCOM, you get an alert in SCOM. SCOM says, hey, fire up this runbook. There's kind of a neat CodePlex utility that actually allows you to call a runbook. Calls that runbook, fires it off. We get an alert back, and SCOM resolves the alert because we've done the right remediation against it.
Excellent.
Yeah, so that's cool. So, and Simon, we talked a little bit, too, about the log history. And so I've just executed this runbook. I think today's the 14th, 1025. We can look at the series of the activities that went through this workflow. And this is kind of what they look like in order. We talked a little bit about platform events that we wanted to get. So I wanted to get a VM list. If we look at number 3, notify the platform event, I wanted to get a nice list of the VMs that were before and after. So you can see here's kind of the before list that I have with the respective IDs, and here's the after list. So you can see we've added the Virtual Academy parent and the Virtual Academy clone. I can't flip over to my mailbox because it's not up right now because I don't have it open, but I also received an email. Maybe I can pull up my phone later and show you offline. I got an email as well because I used the notify email. And then also we talked a little bit about, hey, Justin, did you send this into HP? And if we look at our HP console, look at the latest and greatest event, you can see that I've got a particular event in HP, which is their messaging system that says, hey, Justin, I've created this resource for you. And then let me open the SCOM console as well, and I think the command is get SCOM. Let's do get SCOM alert. Spell alert right. Resolution state equals new. And so what I'm going to do, I needed to know, hey, operations manager, did you get the notification as well? And so now I've got a ticketing system that may say, hey, now that I've got this informational that this VM's vSphere is cloned, it's ready for Simon to use, maybe I have another workflow that looks for these specific events, send you an email with a link to the VM or the console. Hey, Simon, it's ready for you to use.
So let's talk a little more about users and how we can really integrate Active Directory. So kind of a couple questions have come up, mm-hmm. such as when a job starts, do we keep track of who started it? If we need to go send an email to a specific person, can we take that information as a parameter, such as first name, last name, query Active Directory, find their email address, go perform actions like that?
Yeah. With the Active Directory IP, you have a broad host of different Active Directory directory services function that you can use. And so that's absolutely doable. And then you can also, in the statistics view, you can actually look to see who invoked that runbook.
So you can see whether it was started by, let's say, service manager or an individual, things like that.
Yep.
Great.
Yep. And so those are the activities that we have. We talked a little bit about Windows Azure. We talked about all the different IPs. We have them for Data Protection Manager, Operations Manager. This demo was reaching into vSphere. This actually showed the Operations Manager event. It showed the creation of the VMs. And then we talked a little bit about the Orchestration Console. I want to be able to delete a VM as well. So if I have that particular thin client, I can browse to it. One of the things I do to actually clean up after we do these sort of demos, I have a delete VM. So I'm just going to show you that we can also start these jobs using the thin client as well. So I'll start the runbook. It'll ask me, hey, Justin, are there any parameters that are defined in this runbook? I don't have anything defined in initialized data, so I don't. I can also say, hey, I've got different runbook servers available, so maybe I want to run this. Do I want to run it on the default runbook server, which I can have default 50 concurrent jobs, or do I want to run it on a secondary or tertiary runbook server? Great. So I'll pick the runbook server that I want, select it, start it up. And in just a few seconds, we should actually see us go through, power down the clone, delete the clone, and then delete the parent, and then kind of the demo's ready to fire off again.
Very nice. Well, in the meantime, let me ask another question that I got here. Can we have run books that run for a long period of time? So for example, can you have a run book that runs for the duration of 15 days, 30 days over the course of a project that's constantly monitoring things, changing things?
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the IPs, if you look at ones for SCOM, for example, they have monitor alert activities. And this monitor alert kind of attaches itself to the SCOM alert stream and just waits for a condition to happen. And so one of the things we can see is if we're managing our vSphere server, if we're managing our operations operations managers managing our VMM server, if we detect, hey, I've deployed a service, that service, one of the machine's CPUs running hot, I can actually get that alert, detect the alert, and fire off a runbook in response and remediate those kind of things automatically. And this is a long-running job because I'm actively attached to the SCOM alert stream, listening for a particular event to happen, get a match, and do something.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Now, I guess somewhat similar question here as well. So, what about System Center Service Manager service requests? So to provide some context to our users here, System Center Service Manager has basically a self-service portal, a self-service catalog, where you can make any type of requests that maybe are, you know, not specific to the infrastructure, such as, I have a new person in the environment, they need to be onboarded, here's their first name, here's their last name, here's the Active Directory domain we want to give them. Enter that information into a form, click send, and then that goes and creates a ticket in Service Manager that includes first name, last name, domain name. Once somebody enters this self-service user information, let's say these three parameters, how can they then use that within a runbook to, let's say, automatically create that object in Active Directory?
Yeah, so Service Manager integration is a great point, because with Service Manager, you're going to get alerts from SCOM, you're going to get AD integration, you're going to get, I think, Config Manager integration as well. So you can have information about all those assets, including users that you might have in your AD, in your CMDB. So with workflows, we can actually say, okay, I know that per the CMDB, I just added some new machines to my real estate. Simon is actually owner for the applications on those servers. Let's reach into Service Manager, find out who the owner of these servers is for the applications that live on them, and base our workflow off of that. So when we do a ticket that we receive from Operations Manager and we fire off that automated runbook, we know who to send it to, we know who's the server owner, and we know how to route those requests.
Awesome.
Yeah. So good. So Simon, that's the demo. What do you say we flip back to the deck and kind of finish up talking about some of the resources in there?
Let's do that.
All right.
Now, as we flip it back, another great question came up here as well. What happens if Orchestrator itself fails? If that server that it's running on goes online, what type of, you know, availability solutions do we have for the actual runbooks themselves?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, when you look at Orchestrator, absolutely highly available. We are a SQL-based application. We support both 08 versions of SQL, R2, as well as SQL 2012.
So always-on capability.
Always
you can
on
actually cluster that SQL database on the back end.
Absolutely. And you look at kind of the architectural composition of what we have. We've got the SQL database, which is, hey, protect that database. We've got our management server, which talks to the database. And then we've got our runbook servers that actually are responsible for executing these policies. And so you'll see policy modules spin up on a machine. And the good thing about it is if you define an activity and you define those activity and build a workflow into a runbook, you execute that runbook, Simon. If for whatever reason runbook server A falls over, that job will kind of listen for a heartbeat for that box and automatically fail over to a secondary runbook server and kick that policy right back off.
Well, so you basically have failover for the actual activities, for the actual workflows themselves.
Absolutely. And you can even define affinity. So if I have a really well-conditioned, nice piece of metal runbook server, Simon, and I want to have affinity with special jobs and more higher priority businesses, business functions, I can actually assign those particular workflows to only run on Simon.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Well, let's extend our concept of Orchestrator a little further and talk about how we can have customized automation. So, for example, what happens if there isn't an integration pack? What happens if my company has its own line of business application and I want to include that in my workflow?
Yeah.
How can we tie that in?
Yeah, the example you use is great. I mean, run SSH if I want to manage some Linux workloads, run program if I have some Simon.exe that does some some super business function inside of my org. My favorite one, run.NET script. I can actually put PowerShell workflows into the script and execute PowerShell commandlets. So say I'm managing VMM, maybe there's something in the IP that isn't exposed that I want to do. Maybe VMM comes along like they always do and adds killer features as they go along. The run.NET script is almost kind of your get out of jail free card. So I can go through and compose a PowerShell workflow against my VMM server. I do a lot of PowerShell commandlet work against the Windows Azure platform. And so I can define that workflow, plug it into the run PowerShell, and save that out and run those activities just like I would running it from the ISE, for example.
So I think what you're saying is, even if we don't actually have a specific activity, as right. long as there's a programmatic interface, some type of scripting yeah. function, we can just add that piece of code within our workflow,
right.
and it will then call PowerShell,
yep.
and that can go trigger that
yeah.
activity.
Automated away, take advantage of all the high availability, take advantage of runbook failover and workflows failing from one side to another. SQL-based, you've got access to all the workflows, who changed them, who modified them, who started them. You've got the web console and all the advantages you get with actually using the Orchestrator product for those workflows.
Very nice. Can we see it in action?
Absolutely.
Cool. So while you flip back, you know what? One concept that we like to emphasize as a best practice when thinking about purchasing new hardware, even new software in your environment, make sure that it has a programmatic interface. And the reason why, so that we can tie it with an automation. You know, let's say you buy a brand new storage array, but the only way to configure it is actually going to a graphical user interface, click here, click here, click here. That kind of breaks automation, right? You don't have a way to tie in those activities within a workflow. So bottom line here, as you're thinking about purchasing any new hardware, storage, network, make sure that we can communicate with it with some type of function, script, API, so that we can inject it in these workflows, call it through PowerShell, command line, something like that. So you can use it as part of this dynamic cloud environment.
Absolutely. So Simon, what I'm going to show you here real quick, we had touched kind of briefly on the virtual machine manager. Workflows. So I've got one created here that actually goes through and says, hey, I want a self-service user, I want a read-only admin, I want a fabric admin, 10 administrators, and I'm actually going to use the workflow in PowerShell to compose these things. And so what I've done is I've just gone through and said, I want to create a read-only administrator role. I want to put Simon into that role. Simon now has access to certain network interfaces. He has access to certain clouds that I've built. He has access to certain run-as accounts and different machines. So real quick, this is just kind of the .NET activity. You can see I can expand this out to look at kind of what we've done. And so again, new SC user role, dash name, read-only administrators. You can see I'm reaching out and saying, hey, here's the machine I want to connect to. I'm passing it the standard commandlets that are loaded with the VMM module, and my workflow goes.
Great.
So that's the workflow that we have for VMM, just to demo kind of what we can do with running the .NET. Activities, specifically calling into PowerShell.
Now, as you touched on VMM, we had a question that come up that says, is there an integration pack specifically for Hyper-V? And if not, how would we take advantage of calling our virtualization environment?
Yeah, so we don't have a specific MP for Hyper-V, but we do have the IP for Virtual Machine Manager. So once you load up, once you attach Hyper-V hosts to your VMM infra, you can manage it just like you would anything else. So by attaching a VMM Hyper-V server, a Hyper-V server to VMM, you get all the automation capabilities.
So I think that's kind of leads us to a good point about the big changes in System Center 2012 licensing. So in the past, if you bought a System Center product, you would buy just VMM, just Operations Manager, think these kind of siloed products. But that kind of limited what a lot of our customers wanted to do.
Right.
You know, they hear Orchestrator's cool, but I have to go buy a separate license for that. Not going to do it. So with System Center 2012, we now have a single license that includes all the System Center products. So if you just want VMM or just Operations Manager, you get Orchestrator anyway.
Yep.
So a great chance to play around with it. But what this means, tying back to the question here, if you have Orchestrator, guess what? You have VMM.
Right.
So the reason we don't have a specific integration path for Hyper-V is we have it for VMM.
Absolutely.
You have Orchestrator, you get VMM. So really, you know, with this suite, all the System Center products together, even if you're not ready to try them out now, use them today, you have the tools that are going to allow you to do it when you are ready in the future.
Yeah, Simon, I mean, you nailed it. When this was the first release that all the System Center products kind of came together. And for the Service Pack 1 release that I think came out in December, we're all releasing on a cadence as well. And so we're not only releasing service pack updates like we did for 2012 SP1, all the products in the suite, but we're also releasing cumulative updates in the form of update rollup that publish themselves to Microsoft Update. Orchestrator is going to actually participate. We participated in Move for RTM. We've got another update rollup coming out in April.
Very nice.
Yep. So good. Simon, that's what I had for you today. Let me flip back over to the deck, and I think we've got some stuff for you to talk about.
Absolutely. So we'll wrap that up. And then there's a ton of great questions here, so we'll spend a few more minutes kind of going through the Q&A as
awesome.
Well.
Awesome.
So as we flip back over here and take a look at the deck, we just want to remind you that we do have some great resources available. If you want to go, actually, a question for you, where can people get integration packs from?
Yeah, click on this link. You can get all the integration packs that we have. We've got a nice bundle of integration pack for the Microsoft workloads, all the System Center components, FTP, Exchange Admin, Exchange User, Active Directory, and then of all third party as well. So we've got HP ILO, HP Service Manager, HP Operations Manager, NetCool.
Keep going.
Yeah,
all
those ones, vSphere. So we've got all those. And then also, Simon, I invite our users to grab the eval VHDs. Pre-canned VHD, download it, attach it to your hypervisor, and go.
Great. And if you can't click on the links, just go to downloads.microsoft.com and search for integration pack, and you'll get a broad list of those. But if you do want additional orchestrator training, we do have courses available on the Microsoft Virtual Academy where you can actually get started with Orchestrator, learn the basics of how to create workflows and other types of activities. Additionally, if you want in-person training on Orchestrator, come to one of our IT camps or download the eval bits online as well. Now, let's actually go to the Q&A. So we've got some really awesome questions here.
Good.
So please, guys, keep them coming in. First one is, I can see AWS integration in Orchestrator. Can you tell me more about AWS and how that fits in?
Yeah. Someone must have been looking at my runbook hierarchy. So we don't have a formal integration pack for Amazon Web Services, but they do have a commandlet reference from their module that has over 715 modules or commandlets in their module. So you can do things like manage your EC2 resources. You can manage your S3 buckets. You can manage your RDS infrastructures. You can manage your identity and access management. Add users to groups, spin up EC2 instances, create RDS instances, create buckets. And the beauty of that, again, Simon, not necessarily about what you can do against their platform, but you can use these PowerShell commandlets to create those same things in Azure, to create those same things in AWS, because again, we have a nice client interface with the PowerShell commandlets. And so I can compose a simple activity, tell it to run PowerShell, pass it my credentials, pass it my certificate, pass it my shared user key, whatever I need to do to establish that session, and then manage those IaaS or PaaS resources.
Awesome. Now, we've seen a few questions actually come up talking about V2V or migrations between a VMware infrastructure over to the Hyper-V infrastructure.
Yeah.
And if we can automate that, could you kind of elaborate on what the options are there?
Yeah, stay tuned, folks, because your next speaker is going to be talking about that as well. So one of the SAT tools that we have, I don't want to steal any of Andy's thunder, but create reach into vSphere. Take those, I believe it's VMDX is the extension for a VHD there.
VMDK.
Put it in a nice workspace and then put it over on a Hyper-V host, or even better, take it from a vSphere instance, put it on Hyper-V, or put it up into Azure.
Great. Now, how about things around auditing? Do we have any type of activities that allow us to track user changes in an environment, such as, you know, a user has changed the setting on a server, even down to a user's added a new file into our file server, things like that?
Yeah. The file management, those are standard foundation objects. We can look at folders. We can look at files. Again, if you can write a PowerShell script to say, hey, show me the delta on a folder structure, tell me when this file changes, use PowerShell or use your native foundation objects. And again, anything that's written to the standard event log, we can collect that information as well. So maybe you've got a user that went in and deleted the security log, or a user that went in and added him or herself to some directory. Write that standard output, look in the event log, maybe SCOM's looking in the event log, sends a trigger, and we get a notification and via Orchestrator that says, hey, Simon nuked his security log for whatever reason, and then get an email notification that says so.
Great. Now, speaking more about these notifications, what type of integration do we have with inside our event viewer, event log? Can we write events if something happens?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the demos that we looked at, one of the standard activities is not only write the platform event, Simon, but also write to standard EVT out. So we can write an event and say, that example we used about creating a virtual machine and then cloning it, I actually am publishing that data to my event log, so another third-party system can come in there and collect that data about what's happening in my environment.
Very nice. Well, in our last session, we actually had we talked about management packs with Operations Manager and generating reports from those management packs. Mm-hmm. Is there a way that we can read information from a report, kind of parse that report, and say, hey, it says this VM should actually, instead of being 2 gigabytes of RAM, it should be 4 gigabytes of RAM, and automatically take actions on that? Basically, can we scan information and do results based on that?
Yeah. There's a lot of ways to do it in PowerShell where you can scan a file, look for a particular object in a file, look for a particular set of text. Some of the foundation objects in Orchestrator allow you to do that. Parse through this file when you find it, kind of like we attach to the SCOM alert stream, right? We're attached to something and we're actively looking for something specific. And when we find that something specific, we do something even more specific. Very similar to what we can do with text file management.
Very nice. Now, when we talked about Virtual Machine Manager earlier, we talked about the concepts of having a VM and scaling that out to a service, which mm-hmm. is a collection of VMs. Mm-hmm. Do we have the ability to interact with things at a service level? So yeah. Deploy an entire service at once.
Yeah. One of the workflows that I had, I don't know if you saw it on the demo machine, but my VMM example does exactly that. We detect, hey, we've got these service templates that we built from VM templates, that we built from, you know, guest OS images and sysprep VHDs. We've deployed a service. I've detected that one of the machines in my service's CPU is running hot. SCOM's going to generate that alert. The runbook knows, hey, reach in and scale out. So the whole elasticity that you have both for VMM and both in Azure, we can say, hey, I've got a particular instance that's running hot. I've got a ton of customers hitting the website. I need to scale it out. Automatically call that service template, bump up the configuration, and deploy another pair of VMs alongside of the two that are existing.
Very nice. I mean, it sounds like with all these different scenarios, the answer is always yes, so long as there's some type of programmatic interface, right?
Yeah.
So long as we can functionally tell it what to do, no manual interaction required,
right?
We can tie it right in.
Right.
That's great. And final question we have here is, what about Linux? What's our integration with Linux virtual machines?
Yeah, same way. Part of the end of the workflow I showed you with VMM, one of the last activities I had was adding another a Linux machine to my actual inventory. We saw in the activities that we had for the standard foundation objects was get SSH, right? So if we can do an SSH routine against a Linux server, we can manage that server as well.
That's excellent. Well, that's actually all the Orchestrator questions we have. So thank you so much for the time.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming here and explaining Orchestrator. And so hopefully the takeaways that our customers have here is automation is going to be a great thing to save you time, allow you to do more with less, you know, get rid of those repetitive activities and ensure that they're always delivered the same way. So there's no human error, no accidental mistakes. So if you get System Center 2012, of course, you get all of these great tools as part of it, including Orchestrator. And so download the trials today, download the evals today to start checking it out. And I'm sure you'll love it, right?
Thanks, Simon.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And we'll be back shortly to talk about migrating our VMware virtual machines over to Hyper-V using the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter. Thank you.